Enigma. You can order it today on Amazon. Code Red, Vince Flynn, or you can put Kyle Mills in. I want to go to page 164. What do the Russians want? People have been asking that for centuries, and I don't think anyone's come up with a satisfactory answer. Bingo. And then we've got Mitch saying, the Russians don't play to win. They play to make other people lose. Boy, that's correct.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, they're sort of a unique country that way. And if you think about like chess, it's very hard to beat somebody who's not playing to win. They just want to draw. And so Mitch has to deal with this throughout Syria and all the Russians' plans to essentially just inflict damage on the world.
Yeah, I do not want to give anything away. I never give anything away that's a spoiler, but I do want people to know. Paris and Prague, Syria and the United States, and a couple other places along the way, because we've got a cartel leader, we've got some very bad people in Syria, we've got the Russians, and we've got Mitch and his gang. And by the way, Stan Hurley gets an homage. Everybody gets an homage. Everybody, if you're looking for those touch points, that's not an issue. I want to talk to you about how you decided to use Syria. And within five pages, also as backdrop, I was looking up Captagon, which I had never heard of until Code Red. Never heard of it. And I said, is Kyle making this up? And you're not. And I didn't know. I'm pretty smart about this stuff. I had no idea that Syria had become a narco state.
Yeah, you know, with all the sanctions and the civil war that pretty much destroyed the country, they don't have any way to make money, and producing narcotics and trafficking them has become a huge thing for them, mostly throughout the Middle East, but also now it's starting, they're starting to see big shipments come into Europe, and I have a scene in there in Italy, and that really happened. There was a huge, you know, tons of the stuff came in to an Italian port. So it's a new threat and a new drug that people have not focused that much on.
I think the reason I kept reading so avidly is not only do you have the Russians' number, and not only did you bring me up to date on Syria, but the plot is so plausible. Asymmetrical warfare requires second-rate powers like Russia to use new innovation like the media, which you understand completely, to attack the United States and the West generally. This is a very plausible and very troubling plot that a lot of people attribute to China running fentanyl in the United States. I'm not sure I believe that. It's possible. But where did you come up with it? This is really very troubling.
Well, I wanted to do something about asymmetrical warfare because it's so interesting. I mean, Russia is proving, again, that for them, fighting a conventional war is not profitable enterprise. I mean, they're just getting creamed on this thing. But they have been incredibly effective at inflicting damage with asymmetrical warfare. They're the best in the world probably at it. And so I wanted to use that, but I wanted to come up with a new weapon, you know, something that no one's ever heard of before. And because of the Captagon angle and Russia's involvement in Syria, it kind of made this perfect. It was kind of a perfect thing to write about, that they could use that against the West, you know, because of our problems with the narcotics trade in America and in Europe.
When we come back after the break, and I'll be on the podcast today, I'm going to talk with Kyle Mills about Captagon, about the specifics of Syria in 2023, about what Mitch Rapp is up to in this novel, Code Red. But I want to, again, emphasize to my audience, I read this in one day. I never do that. It's full length. It's the full deal. I haven't done that in years, in fact. But the plot is so troubling and so well told. Go get Code Red. I'm going to be back with Kyle Mills after the program. All of it will air on iTunes today. I'm going to air part of this tomorrow morning because I think this book is a warning siren in the night that people need to pay attention to. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Harley. Thanks, everyone, to Salem News Channel, Salem Radio Network, all of our affiliates. I'll be back with Kyle Mills after the break. Stay tuned, America.
The Hugh Hewitt Show is now available on TV. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com or download the app. You can also watch on Roku and Fire Stick. Salem News Channel, the antidote to the mainstream media.
Absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
We all know Joe Biden isn't getting the job done and too often is making things worse.
That's conservative business leader Doug Burgum, one of America's most successful governors. Raised with small-town values, Burgum built a billion-dollar company, creating thousands of jobs. As governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum cut taxes, balanced the budget, and helped pass term limits.
Where we come from, when something isn't working, you stop and you try something new. That's common sense. Joe Biden has got to go. Yeah!
As president, Doug Burgum will unleash American energy and end Biden's inflation. He'll secure the border to stop the flow of illegal drugs. And Burgum will rebuild our military to win the Cold War with China.
Do you believe that the economy, energy, and national security are critical to our nation's future? Remember, that's why I'm running for president.
Best of America PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.bestofamericapac.com.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Chuck, I know it's super easy, but can you walk our listeners through the process of getting a signature loan at Dollar Loan Center?
You'll just need a couple things. Bring along your state-issued ID, recent pay stub, and a few pieces of mail to prove where you live. And if you're getting a loan online at don'tbebroke.com, you can scan and upload all your documents right to our members area.
Sounds easy. How long does the whole process take?
For a new customer, all this takes around 30 minutes, and you're out the door cash in hand. And your first week's interest is on us.
That was Chuck. And to celebrate 25 years in business, he's offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply and a week of free interest. We have over 50 locations. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com. Don't forget, your first loan is free in 2023 at the DLC.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Data Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. Review loan qualifications. Visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason.
We remember with great respect the nearly 3,000 souls we lost that tragic day.
Joint Chief Vice Chair Admiral Christopher Gray, one of the countless number of Americans remembering those lost in the 9/11 terror attacks 22 years ago today. Numerous tributes taking place, including at the Pentagon, at Ground Zero in New York, where bells are tolling, and on hallowed ground, in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Our military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says there is no doubt that 9/11 changed life in America forever.
I think that the fear that was widespread among the people and continues to live today as we contemplated what might be next, as you know, we shut down the airspace, as we stayed home and we watched television, and the speculation about who had done such a dastardly deed to the American people.
McGinnis was at the Pentagon when the hijacked aircraft struck the building. Vivid memories of smoke rising from the scene, memories of friends and colleagues lost. President Biden, returning from the G20 summit in India, will attend a ceremony in Alaska. At the summit, the president once again sounded a conciliatory tone toward communist China, Mr. Biden insisting he does not want to contain China. In his words, "We're not looking to hurt China sincerely. We're all better off if China does well." The same China that's on the move in the South China Sea, that threatens Taiwan, and that sent a spy balloon clear across the continental U.S., before it was shot down off the coast of the Carolinas. It is a scene of utter devastation in earthquake-ravaged Morocco, where the death toll is roughly 2,500. Thousands have been left homeless. On Wall Street, the Dow features up 67 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In the following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt. I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you called Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders. Trinity was great to work with. They wanted to help me. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
This is your KMTQ News Flash. Well, it wasn't pretty, but as they say, a win's a win. The Las Vegas Raiders held on for a 17-16 road win over the Denver Broncos at the Mile High City. Raiders QB Jimmy Garoppolo finished his debut with the Raiders with 200 yards passing, two TDs, and an interception. The defense came up big for Las Vegas, holding the Broncos to just 3 points in the second half. The Raiders travel to Buffalo this Sunday to take on the Bills before coming back to Allegiant Stadium to play their first home game of the season against the Steelers on September 24th. Former Bishop Gorman basketball standout Zion Collins, who's on probation for a fatal car crash that killed 52-year-old Eric Echevarria, well, he's now a member of a community college basketball team. Officials at Salt Lake Community College confirmed the 21-year-old is a redshirt freshman on its basketball team back in July. Collins was sentenced to 3 months in jail, 3 years probation, after pleading guilty to a felony charge of reckless driving resulting in death. He was released from jail on August 15th after serving 56 days. Wynn and Encore Las Vegas going back to charging for self-parking for non-guests. Company officials confirmed the daily parking fee will be $20 a day, with the first 4 hours free. Valet parking will be $40 a day. Return to paid self-parking begins September 27th. Anderson holding on to open houses, asking for input on what to do with the former Fiesta Henderson site. City officials are holding open houses on September 21st and 20th, that is, at the Valley View Recreation Center and America First Center. Visitors to the open house will learn about the project's scope and timeline and can give suggestions about possible uses for those sites. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Thought it was a rash, but my doctor said it was a tick bite.
Ticks can spread Lyme disease and other illnesses, leading to chronic health issues.
My brother was always having asthma flare-ups. Turns out a roach problem at home was causing it.
Allergens left behind by roaches and rodents are a major driver of asthma attacks.
When I had a fever and body aches, I never thought it was West Nile virus.
Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can spread serious diseases. Get the facts at pestworld.org.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
We're starting the Monday morning commute off with some rough spots on the valley roadways, not the freeways, though. No accidents being reported on the highways. In the southeast, though, got a bad accident right in the middle of the intersection of Warm Springs and Eastern. Also at the south end of town on Las Vegas Boulevard to get on to 215. And working one in the southwest on Durango right at the entrance to 215 as well. More cloud cover today, but for cooler temperatures that should keep us under triple digits. This afternoon's forecasted high is 97 degrees. It's 73 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Monday. It's always a good Monday when the Raiders win the day before. It just feels better. I mean, Mondays are still Mondays, but they feel a little nicer, a little better. And it was not as you heard on the news, it was not a thing of beauty, but it was still a win, and that is great. It's also the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. We'll talk about that. There's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to get to, but one thing that hit me last week was this whole notion that gas prices would hit near record highs over the Labor Day weekend. And those of you that drove anywhere, you know that the price of gasoline is going up, 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 up. It's not going down anytime soon. What does that all mean to you, the consumer? David Holt is joining us. He's the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance, and he joins us now. First of all, David, thanks for being a part of the show on this Monday. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
What does this all mean? The gas prices hit near all-time highs over the Labor Day weekend. First of all, did that surprise you, or was that something you'd been calling for?
No, it really didn't surprise us. The gasoline prices have been going up around the country for a while. We're not producing enough here in the United States. The OPEC nations, Saudi Arabia, have really been ratcheting down supply to help increase global oil prices, which obviously increases gasoline and diesel prices. And the entire regulatory environment in the United States is in the last several years has not been real helpful to alleviate these high prices. So, you know, supply, demand, folks are starting to come out of, obviously, COVID. The economy is looking a little bit better, maybe. But, you know, high gasoline prices, high diesel prices is one of the fastest ways to get the economy going back in the wrong direction again. And it certainly adds a lot of pressure to inflation. So it's not a great situation. Prices have come down just a little bit in the last week or so. But particularly there in Nevada and all the western states, those states are paying some of the highest prices in the country. So folks are getting hit in the pocketbook even harder there.
Again, David Holt joining us. He is the president of Consumer Energy Alliance. What is Consumer Energy Alliance? What is it?
Yeah. So it's a group of organizations, businesses, families all across the country who are interested in energy policy, ways to keep our electricity prices low, keep our gasoline prices low. How are we meeting our energy needs? Kind of that all of the above solution to meeting your energy needs, oil, natural gas, refining, wind, solar, energy conservation, nuclear. All those things need to be part of the energy mix. And we've got about 380 member companies all across the economic spectrum, manufacturers, small businesses, farmers, organized labor, on. And then about 500,000+ families all around the country that are members of our organization that want to get involved in state, local, and national energy policy issues.
I just got back yesterday from St. Louis. I flew there on Friday, filled up a rental car at $3.25 a gallon, and it was great. I loved it. I was surprised by it. I came back here yesterday afternoon, and I filled up, and I spent $4.60 a gallon. Why the difference?
You know, it's really refining bottlenecks. There are fewer refineries in the western states. Demand is high in the western states, but there's less supply of gasoline and diesel. Pipeline bottlenecks getting gasoline and diesel from refineries elsewhere in the country to western states is increasingly problematic. The regulatory environment in a lot of the states, particularly California, Oregon, Washington, others, is a giant sucking sound from other western states as prices there are just astronomical. But folks still have to drive. People have to meet demand, get to work, go visit, mother-in-law, things like that. So it's a problem all over the country, but we're seeing especially high prices in the western states.
Is there any reason why it's happening there? Now, I understand overall hurricanes, knocking out platforms in the Gulf. I understand that generically, but why one region of the country versus another region of the country?
You know, it's a great question. And increasingly, we are more and more regional. Some of these things are federal requirements coming from Washington. Some of them are state requirements. State taxes, gasoline taxes vary from state to state, and that can have a big impact on the price that you pay at the pump. So there are a lot of different little regional issues that increasingly are becoming more and more problematic because gasoline is less and less fungible, meaning gasoline that's produced in Texas is not necessarily the same kind of gasoline that you can sell in Nevada, or certainly in California. So refineries have to optimize for the region that they're in. And so those refineries in the West largely have to optimize for the state of California. So that increases prices for all Western states. And because of fewer pipelines being built, because of different regional regulations, like I mentioned, gasoline is less fungible. You can't move it from an Eastern state to a Western state as easily as you could have several years ago. So therefore, Western states are largely paying a lot more for gasoline now than they were just a few short years ago.
Look in your crystal ball. Is the price of a gallon of gasoline going to go down anytime soon? You mentioned just in the last week that it went down slightly. Are we going to have any appreciable increase or lowering of gas prices?
You know, I'm not overly optimistic. We have several market issues that are leading us to think that gasoline prices are probably going to go up rather than go down. We're not seeing OPEC and the Saudis relax their restriction on oil production. Therefore, that's limiting oil supply, which limits or increases the price of gasoline. This administration has not been overly helpful on the price of gasoline and energy production in general in this country. More and more announcements are limiting our ability to extract oil and natural gas here at home, which limits our ability to be a hedge against Saudi and OPEC. So if we're able to produce more here at home, that brings downward pressure on the price of gasoline and diesel. Several years ago, we were able to produce more here at home. We could be that hedge nation that produced more and more oil and natural gas. Several years ago, we were the number one oil producer and the number one natural gas producer in the world. We're no longer in that situation. So increasingly, we're beholden to the Saudis, to OPEC, to the Russians, to others that are supplying global oil and helping to meet global oil supply. And increasingly, our renewable and alternative energy, wind and solar, is beholden to the Chinese that control most of the process and materials that go into wind and solar. So largely, we have a U.S. energy policy that is not putting U.S. consumers and families first, and it is putting a lot of upward pressure on the price of gasoline, on the price of electricity, on the price of diesel. And if diesel prices go up, the price of every commodity goes up. Everything that is brought to the store or to your to home builders, anything that needs to be moved by truck, the price of that commodity goes up when diesel prices go up.
Wow. Let me ask you, if I could wrinkle my nose and we could change presidents today, how long would it take to turn this big battleship around?
You know, another great question. I think, the parties need to come together on energy policy, and increasingly they're not. We're showing, and we have shown here in the United States, that we can meet our environmental goals while we produce oil and natural gas. And what we're seeing now is more and more on the extremes, on the progressive hard far left, we're seeing that more and more are saying the only way to meet our environmental goals is to eliminate oil and natural gas. That is simply not true. And then on the right, more and more need to embrace carbon capture, more and more need to embrace wind and solar to understand that wind and solar can meet some of our electricity needs, but we also need nuclear or natural gas as a backup power for when the wind's not blowing and the sun's not shining. So both parties need to come together. A new president with a different philosophy, a more all-the-above philosophy, could quickly add U.S. oil and natural gas supplies, add more pipelines, add more transmission, reduce the bottlenecks that we're seeing in Washington right now that prevent us from meeting our energy needs, and that are largely responsible for a lot of the increases we're seeing in electricity prices, gasoline prices, and diesel prices. So a new president could make a meaningful difference, send signals to the market immediately that energy is open for investment and not just some energy, all energy. All these things could happen very quickly. And unfortunately, this administration is, I think, too beholden to the progressive left on this issue. And that false choice that says we can only be an environmental nation or we can only be an energy supply nation is just not true. We can meet our energy needs and meet our environmental needs at the same time.
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure of where America is. Have you seen polling on all of the above and things like that? Have you seen where America is? Do we want to be a nation that is all of the above, or do we want to go totally green? What do the American people say?
You know, it's a little bit of everything. There's broad support for wind and solar and alternative energy. Energy diversity is polls very well, but there's tremendous support for continued use of oil and natural gas to meet our fundamental needs. There's great support for increased pipelines. There's great support for increased energy infrastructure. But when you get into it, you find these pockets of opposition and local opposition that are largely funded from outside groups that kind of say no to everything. We've got to get past that. The whole energy situation is kind of a just say no to everything from an advocacy perspective, from these opposition groups that have cropped up in recent years. So their job is to raise money, to scare people, to say no to everything, and to block everything, when the majority of the country supports all of the above, supports oil and natural gas, supports in meeting our environmental goals. So the country is very much in favor of this all of the above notion, but very, very much in favor of meeting our energy needs here at home with more oil and natural gas. That's a big disconnect that Washington is, many politicians in Washington are just not caring.
David Holt, let me just ask you, looking a year down the road, 2 years down the road, what do you see America doing? Will we be able to move the Chinese and India and other entities into cleaner energy? Or is this a matter of we're going to have to keep fighting this fight?
Well, you know, no, I don't see us moving the Chinese anywhere. I don't think they're serious about environmental solutions. You know, here in the United States, we are serious about environmental solutions, but from a global perspective, there's not really much more we can do unless the Chinese are serious about it. You know, if you're watching greenhouse gas emissions, you know, the Chinese and in India. They're the dominant emitters of greenhouse gas emissions here in the United States. We are, of all the nations, we're doing the best job in reducing not only greenhouse gas emissions, but all emissions, volatile organic compounds and nitrous oxides and sulfur dioxides, all the rest. The United States is the number one nation. So to be serious about that is, and if you're like, AOC or someone like that, and you're serious about your position on the environment, then she should be introducing legislation every single day that says we will no longer trade with the Chinese until they're serious about their environmental performance. I'm not seeing her do that. I'm not even seeing her have those discussions. So it's we need to be a lot more serious in this country about energy policy. Voters need to be paying attention to it because it is a fundamental pocketbook issue that ripples throughout the whole economy. One of the largest parts of inflation right now is high gasoline and diesel prices that we've had since 2001. It is a big drawdown on the economy, and it ripples throughout the economy because, well, as I said, commodities that travel through by diesel,